All right, so tonight we're going to talk about what happened to Israel. Remember, we've been talking about God's plan for Israel. He wanted to be with his people, but Israel decided they didn't want to do that. All right, go to the next slide. All right, so here we have. I don't know if you heard in the news. There's a big hurricane headed toward Florida. It's probably going to come. Was it Eta or something? Or? Eta, something like that. Now, let me ask you this. If you knew a hurricane was coming right for your city, and maybe you don't know how bad it's going to be, maybe it would be not too bad. Hopefully this one won't be too bad. But sometimes, like Hurricane Katrina was really bad. It flooded a bunch of places. Would that be a good day to buy a house in that place?
No.
No.
No? That'd be kind of bad, wouldn't it? I mean, maybe it would be all right, but not the wisest thing. All right, I hear a lot of talking. I should not hear any talking. No talking at all. We got it. This is listening time. All right, so that you may think, well, that's a silly question to ask. But that is kind of going to come into play here in this. All right, so here is, so the children of Israel, they have had years and years and years to try to live by God's law, to try to take care of folks like they were supposed to, care for the poor and the sick and the needy and to people who are foreigners and to try to live with justice and with peace, and they've just not done it. They've not done a good job. And they've ended up worshiping other idols. And so now God says that judgment is coming. And so he sent his prophet Jeremiah. That's what I'm going to read tonight. Some are the words from the prophet Jeremiah and some other prophets too. But Jeremiah has told them that your time's just about up. Oof, that didn't sound like a good message. But that was the message from God. Here's what he said. He said, "Behold, the storm of the Lord. Wrath has gone forth, a whirling tempest." That's another word for storm. "It will burst upon the head of the wicked. The fierce anger of the Lord will not turn back until he has executed and accomplished the intentions of his mind. In the latter days, you will understand this." That means, just pretty soon you're going to understand what it means to experience the wrath of God. All right, go to the next slide. All right, so the first thing we have tonight is judgment. Whew, well, that looks like a bad storm too, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. That's kind of bad. Israel had completely abandoned God, pretty much. The rulers all were making bad decisions. Actually, before this, you remember about the country of Israel splitting up into the Israel part and the Judah part? You remember that from recent times talking about it? Well, the top part of Israel had already been taken over by the Assyrians, so they had already experienced the judgment of God. And now this little part in Judah, they still thought, oh, well, we're still, you know, we have Jerusalem here, we have the temple, God will never let anything bad happen to us. And so we could just act however we want. And well, that turned out not to be true. God wanted was to just live with them, to be with them, for them to be his people, for him to be their God. And instead, they thought they could run their own lives. And in fact, they maybe with some help from some false gods. And so that's where they were. And ended up, if you worship false gods, you end up mistreating people. And you end up twisting reality and doing mainly just selfish things. And as you know, if everybody acts selfishly, the people start getting hurt. There starts to be consequences. And bad things happen. And that's the way it happened here. And so now it has come all the way to the Babylonians. Another group of people have come to completely surround Jerusalem. So you got to picture this. So imagine if we had like, the mighty Canadian army surrounding Cincinnati. Oh, that would be horrible, wouldn't it? They would never do that, would they? It's hard to even imagine something like that. So this was an invading army that had come and surrounded their city, and any day they were going to come in there and burn it to the ground and take all those people captive. That was going to happen. Now, had they really been trusting in God, God could spare them. They could pray and ask God to, and because this has happened before, and God had spared them. God had sent angels to kill the opposing armies, and they had to run away because they didn't have anybody left, and they'd failed to take Jerusalem. But that was not going to happen this time. And to round it off, Jeremiah, while he's writing this, he's in prison because he keeps telling people, hey, God's going to punish you, and the king and all that, they're tired of hearing it, so they put him in prison so they wouldn't have to hear him say it anymore. But that doesn't mean it wasn't true. And they had all these other false prophets saying, oh, no, everything will be fine. But that wasn't true. Jeremiah was a true prophet. He had a real word from God, and that's what was going to happen. So then, this is going to blow your mind. Go to the next slide. Huh? I figure this is not the right. No, it is the right slide. It's the right slide. But I don't know. So here's what God told him. Shh. Now listen. He said, Jeremiah, there's going to be one of your cousins is going to come, and he's going to offer you a field to buy, and you're going to buy it. Well, guess where this field was? The field was right out, it was outside of Jerusalem, in the land where the Babylonians were camping. Yeah, the Babylonians were going to take over everything and burn everything and take everybody as slaves. But this field is sitting there. Do you think this would be a good investment?
No.
Yeah.
Because if they bought it, this cousin is going to have some money, so it would be good for him. But is Jeremiah going to be able to go out and maybe plow some crops and stuff like that? Is he going to do that?
No.
He's in jail, and also the Babylonians have captured that. Yeah. Well, I mean, they were to capture him first, but they also didn't care. They were going to kill some of them too, so they weren't too particular about it. It was just going to be a bad thing that happened to them. And this, you know, this happened in the ancient world somewhat, quite a bit, but it was going to happen to Jerusalem. So God says, Jeremiah, you're going to buy this field. So sure enough, his cousin comes there into the prison and says, hey, Jeremiah, I got a great deal for you. Got this piece of land. Great. Oh, man, it's beautiful. Why, the crops you could grow, they're perfect. Jeremiah says, all right, I'll do it. He hands him the money. They sign over the deed and everything, and it's a done deal. Why in the world would God want him to do this? The reason is because God knew what was going to happen later on. He said, later on, one day, that land that you bought is going to be free land. It's going to be land where the children of Israel live, and it's going to be a beautiful place. It is going to be a beautiful farm. There are going to be wonderful crops there. Not today, not tomorrow, but one day it will be. Now, Jeremiah was going to be old and dead by then, so he wasn't going to enjoy this property. But somebody was. Somebody of the Jewish people were going to. And that was God's promise, way, sort of his way of telling them that a new day was coming. All right, go to the next one. All right, so that's kind of a weird picture too, isn't it? Wonder. So restoration. So you have to sort of imagine. You have to sort of imagine if I don't know if you ever know this, but sometimes when people fall in love, sometimes they argue about stuff. I don't know if you knew about that or not. You probably don't know anything about that. That's fine. But sometimes they argue, and sometimes the arguing gets really bad. But then sometimes there's restoration. That means sometimes everybody has to come and say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that. And, oh, you're right, I'm sorry too, I shouldn't have said that. Whatever. And then people are restored, and then the real relationship is better. And so this will make sense in a minute when you hear these verses. here's what God says, and this is part of his promise that he's explaining to Jeremiah of what's going to happen later on, Miranda. Got it? Here we go. This is verse 31. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Israel had already been taken over. And the house of Judah also. Not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. Remember when God rescued Israel out of the land of Egypt? He made a covenant with them. He said, now you do what I say and I'll be with you. I'll protect you. But of course they didn't. So here we are. He said, but now I'm going to make a new covenant, a better covenant. My covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declares the Lord. The Lord was, what? The Lord was their husband. How does that? It's sort of, now he wasn't really their husband, but it's like a picture. What's the picture of? It's like, sort of like, so God is like the husband and Israel is sort of like the wife. But it's, would Israel have been a good wife in this picture?
I know.
What kind of wife would Israel have been? Yeah, selfish wife, somebody who says, I don't care what you say, I'm going to do whatever I want, and goes off and worships other gods. That's like going off to maybe have some other husband or something. Oof, that is bad. Now, most of the time, if that happened, people would be pretty hard pressed to do any kind of restoration, but not God. God says, look, I know you've been unfaithful, but I love you anyway. And I'm going to restore you. That's what this new covenant is about. He says, it's not going to be like that old covenant where you had to toe the line and do the right things. And then this one's going to be different. He says, this covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord, I will put my law within them and I will write it on their hearts. Now, where was the law written before this? Remember when Moses went up to the mountain, he got the law of God. Where was it written? Miranda. You lost me. Don't distract her. Where was the law written? On stone tablets. So they had the law of God written out on stone, and then later on they made copies of it on parchment and things like that. So they had it written down. But he says, this covenant, I'm going to put the law within you and write it on your hearts. Instead of writing it on stone, he was going to write it into their very heart. Maybe not with a pencil, but maybe like,
that would hurt.
It's another picture. It's another picture. It's not exactly like that, but it's like those laws are going to be so embedded within you that you will just automatically do the right thing. Whoa, that's powerful, huh? Can you imagine living like that? He says this, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, know the Lord. Like some now, it's like if you want somebody to do right, you say, hey, the Bible says this, you better do it. He said, no more of that. No more need for that, because they shall all know me. From the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. You wouldn't have to teach anybody about God because they would already know. They'd already know everything about God. They would love God with all of their hearts already. So there'd be no need to teach anybody anymore about it. Because the law would be written on their hearts. That's the new covenant that God is talking about. For I will forgive their iniquity. You know what iniquity is?
No. Money?
Nope. Good guess. It's another word for sin. So he says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. He's willing to forgive them. Did they have a lot to forgive?
Yeah,
they had broken every single law that God gave to them. They had gone and worshipped other gods. It's like they had left their husband or something. They had broken everything. They had done every bad thing you can imagine. And yet God says, I'm going to forgive you. That's pretty amazing that God would be willing to do that. So really, as I said, all God has wanted this whole time is to have a people to be with Him and to fellowship with Him. That's what God wants. That's what He wants from us. He says one day the Jewish people are going to be restored to their land. Actually, that happened. Later on, they were captured. The Babylonians did come in, did burn down their city, did destroy the temple, and took a bunch of them as slaves. And then 70 years later, some of them got to come back and be a nation again. And so God did restore them a little bit. So they did get to use that field that Jeremiah bought. And then later, guess what? They kind of did it again and got exiled again. But now, guess what? Now they're back in their land again, even right now. The Jewish people are living in Israel right now. Many people. But one day they will truly be restored and there will be a new covenant. And this time it's not just for Jewish people, it's for Gentile people as well. It's for all people. The new covenant. You know, that's what the second part of the Bible is called. We call it the Old Testament and the New Testament. Really, we could call it the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. That's right. The whole New Testament is really God's new covenant. It's this new covenant that He's talking about. Writing the law of God on your hearts. So that nobody even has to tell you anything. That you'll have that much knowledge of God. That's what God's after. And one day, we will be restored if you're a believer. If you're a believer in Jesus, you can be part of God's kingdom and living under the reign of Christ. When in the book of Revelation, John talks about seeing the city of Jerusalem coming down, this new Jerusalem coming down like a bride adorned for her husband. So there's still this imagery of like some kind of marriage happening. There's something in the Revelation about the marriage supper of the Lamb. So it's like Jesus is celebrating some kind of marriage that's happening or something. Not a real marriage, it's a picture. But that's how much God loves us. It's sort of like a big love story. The biggest love story ever. And right now we're in the part where we're kind of not being that great, but God loves us anyway. But one day we're going to be together again, the way it ought to have been from the very beginning. And it will be truly wonderful. And that's what Jesus is all about. And of course, we talk about that all the time. We'll talk about it much more even next week as we get even closer and some bigger questions about all of that. What is God's bigger plan? All right, let's bow our heads. We're going to pray. Father, we thank You for the time we've had this evening, and help us to understand these things and to understand Your great love and mercy for us. And willing to forgive even our worst sins if we will trust You. And what You want is fellowship with us. Help us to be willing to do that. And looking forward to that day when Your law is truly written on our hearts. And that we can all be together in peace and harmony and celebrate together. In Jesus' name, amen.